Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be with you today. Humbly, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to bring forth your word. I pray, Father God, that it would be the words of the Spirit and not the words of the flesh. For the words of the flesh are valueless in the lives of man, but the words of the Spirit are life-changing. So, Lord, I just yield myself to you today. And I say, not my words, but yours come forth for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to ask you a question real quick. I got a low battery on this one. I'm going to use the handheld real quick, Andy. But real quickly, I would just like you to tell me, what is church to you? Well, you're never quick. Nothing personal. What is church to you?
Refreshment.
Home.
People.
Family.
I'll let her off the hook. She's new. No idea? No idea?
Healing.
Healing?
Family.
No idea?
Safety.
Life.
A place where God heals me. Home.
Home?
So many things I can't think of, just one by itself. So it's great. Family, home, peace, love, the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Working with God. It's really hard when you've been here a long time.
Yeah. I'm just thankful for the church.
Okay.
What's the question?
What is church to you?
God's house of worship.
Okay. Don't know.
Victory in Jesus.
Okay. Did you already go?
Yeah.
Enlightening.
Enlightening.
Andy, you better have one.
A place for his people to find purpose.
I wasn't here for the question.
What is church to you?
Love.
Okay. Thank you.
Rejoice.
If you have one? Okay. It's okay. I let people that have been in church a lot longer than you off the hook, so I'll let you off. I want to talk to you about something that is very personal to me. It's very personal to me because it's something that I have given the last 26 years of my life completely to. My time, my energy, my health, my body, my family, everything I got for the last 26 years. And that's church. And I'm going to talk to you today about church. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 16. And I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 18. This was out of the New King James. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "What do men say that I am? The Son of Man." So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Jesus was not saying here that on Peter he's going to build the church, which is what some people read when they see that. What he was saying is, on this truth that has been revealed to you, on this truth that has been revealed to you, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. My church. My church. Church is very personal to Jesus. It's very personal. You noticed that he didn't say that I'm going to build the church. He said, my church. On this truth, I will build my church. Church is his, and church is a very personal issue to Jesus. People treat church very cavalierly, very disrespectfully, but it's a very passionate issue to me, and I'm going to tell you why. The church of Jesus Christ has been under attack since its birth. And it's under attack because of two different types of people. Those who know what church is really all about, and they want to stop it. They don't like it. They want to tear it down. And then there are those who are ignorant of what church really is. And with that ignorance, they're killing it. They're killing something that's very personal to Jesus, my church. I hear people say things very cavalierly and do things very cavalierly all the time in regards to Jesus' church. And it always breaks my heart. They say things like, I hate church. I don't want to go to church. I don't like that church. I don't need to go to church. I don't think that church is right. I don't think our church is right. I like Jesus, but I don't like church. I'm going to be very honest with you today. To be at war with church is to be at war with Jesus Christ. And that's somebody you don't want to be at war with. So some of you need to get your heart right today about something that is very personal to Jesus, and that's his church. To come against, to attack, to disregard church is to do the same thing to Jesus Christ. It's kind of like saying, well, I love Jesus. I hear people say this all the time. I love Jesus, but I don't like church. You're going to see in a minute where that doesn't even line up with Scripture. It don't line up with Scripture at all. That's kind of like saying, I love family, but I don't like Jason's family. I don't like Joe's family. I don't like Matt's family. I love family. I love Jesus, but I don't like his family. The way you think about church, the way you speak about church, the way you feel about church, the way you treat church, whether it's this church, another church, the church, how you think and speak and feel about church is the way you're thinking, speaking, and feeling about Jesus Christ. When we became part of the church over 26 years ago, we had one child. And a few years later, Andy was born, and then we had two. And we raised our children that church was not to be a part of their life. We raised them that church is your life. It was never just a part of your life, like going to school is a part of your life, or going out to the movies is a part of your life. So church is not to be a part of your life, Andy. Church is life. It is your life. We didn't want them to just see and watch his body at work. We wanted them to partake and to become his body in the earth. Turn in your Bible to Colossians, chapter 1. I'm going to be reading verses 24 through 25. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is what? Let me hear you say it. His body, which is?
The church.
Of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. In the NIV it says, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is what? The church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Church is not a part of your mission here in this earth. Church is the mission. Church is our mission. It's not, well, my mission is to feed the homeless. My mission is to teenagers. My mission is to make lots of money so I can pour money into the church. Church is not a part of your mission here on earth. Church is the mission. His body, the body of the firstborn, the body of the redeemed. That's our mission. If his body is the church, and we're that body, if you are at war with the church, you are at war with him. Hebrews 12. And I'm going to read it up here because I don't... Oh, yeah, I do. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Hebrews 12, 18 through 22. Oh, she's got it up there. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. The church of the firstborn. Who is that? It's us. It's us. To come against, to treat with contempt, or just to totally disregard the church is to treat Jesus the same way. Because we just read, the church is his body. You know what we're supposed to be doing with the church? Not bad-mouthing it. We're supposed to be protecting it. I can't tell you how many people I hear bad-mouth in church all the time. We're supposed to be protecting his body. Amen. Cherishing, nourishing the church, providing for the church. If Jesus were here sitting in the front row right now, would you cherish him? Would you nourish him? Would you protect him? Would you try to provide for him? I know I would. See, church isn't a place we go to. It's not supposed to be something that we go to do. Church is supposed to be something that you are. It's like love. We're supposed to be love, not trying to find love, not at war with love. Same thing with the church. Church is not something we do. Church is supposed to be something that we are. What we are to be, it's what Jerry was saying. Church has a very specific purpose. We're supposed to come here together, assembling with the fullness of the body. We're supposed to come together for edification, for maturity, to learn, to be filled, to strengthen one another. And then we're supposed to go out, like he was saying, and be that, be the hands and feet, the body of Christ to the world around us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. In Ephesians 5, 28 through 30, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Jesus loves his church. If we're going to say we love Jesus, then we better love his church too. You are the church, the body of Christ. I want you, I say this to people all the time. people who are at war with their own bodies. Have you ever known somebody who was always at war with their own body? They live very tortured and unproductive lives. One of the most torturous things you can ever be at war with is yourself. Because you never win. And those who are at war with the body of Christ, those that I see that are always at war with the body of Christ, live very tortured and unproductive lives in the kingdom. We are not supposed to be at war with our own body, which is the church. We're not supposed to be at war. Those who intentionally or ignorantly continue to neglect their bodies, divide or defile their bodies, always end up coming to this place of ruin. Have you ever been at that place in your body? I was at that place with my body one time. I was always intentionally neglecting it, or I was divided in how I took care of it. At one point, I defiled my body. I tried to do good, and then I go back, and I try to do good, and I do all of these things, and eventually, I always came to ruin. The same thing is true with the body of Christ, with the Lord's body, which is the church. When people get into intentionally or just ignorantly, get into that place where they continue to neglect the church, the Lord's body, to divide or defile it, speak against it, tearing it down, then eventually what you see is their lives continue to come to this place of ruin. Why? Because I'm coming against something that is very personal to Jesus, my church, he said. This is my church. And I want you to nourish it. And I want you to protect it. And I want you to take care of it. And I don't want you to come against it. Until we think rightly about the church, you are always going to find yourself in a place where you are dissatisfied with it, where you're disappointed with it, where you're unproductive in it, and where you're at odds with Jesus over it. The church is a big deal to him. I read you something out of Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 18 through 23. I'm going to start up in 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. That's one of the first things right there. We are one body. We need to learn how to love all the saints, not just your favorite ones, not just the ones you agree with or like, all the saints. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of his wisdom and revelation, knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The world's definition and understanding of a church is a place that you go to. If you go and look up what church means in the dictionary, here's some of what it reads. A building for public Christian worship. A public worship of God or a religious service in such building. A division of this body professing the same creed and acknowledging the same ecclesiastical authority. Again, that's the dictionary's definition of a church, and its understanding of a church is it's a place that you go. Jesus' definition and purpose of his church is that it is something you become. It is something you become. Whether we're here, whether we're on the streets, whether you're in a Catholic church, whether you're in a Methodist church, whether you're at the grocery store. I hear people say, well, I just don't like to go to church, or I don't need church. People that go to church but never go out there and be the church. Or people that want to go out there and be the church but never want to come to church. Either way, you're still at war with it. Either way, you're still not unified with something that is so personal to Jesus. My church. The word church, I'm going to read you something from an article I read recently. The word church as rendered in the New Testament comes from the term, say it baby, ecclesia, he said it for me earlier, ecclesia, is that how you say it?
Ecclesia.
Sorry. Ecclesia, which is formed from two Greek words meaning an assembly and to call out, or called out ones. So I want you to think about that. Two Greek words, which means an assembly, and to called out or called out ones. The New Testament church is a body of believers who have been called out from the world by God to live as his people under the authority of Jesus Christ. The group of believers, or the body of Christ, began in Acts on the day of Pentecost through the work of the Holy Spirit, and it will continue to be formed until the day of the rapture of the church. When you have a right understanding, a right confession, a right conviction about church, do you know what happens with those kind of people? The world profoundly changes around them. This is what we saw when we saw the first century church. In Acts 2:40-47, with many other words he testified, this is Peter, and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word and were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided among them all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, where were they? In the temple and in the world, in the temple and in the world, in the temple and in the world. We come together as a body, we go out as a body. But what are we? The body of Christ, the church of the firstborn. Jesus is my church. Continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Do you know where people get offset with the church? They make things far too complicated. Keep your heart simple. Praising God and having favor with all of the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
Amen.
This is the church we're supposed to be. Not something you're a part of, something you are. Something you're connected to, and something that you're trying to connect other people to also, which is the body of Christ. Ernest Southcott was the founder of the home church movement that began in England, and this is what he said. The holiest movement of the church service is the movement when God's people, strengthened by preaching and sacrament, go out of the church door into the world to be the church. We don't go to church, we are the church. I go into the church. Why do I go into church? I go into church for maturity, for learning, to be filled. The purpose of the church is twofold. It comes together for the purpose of bringing each member into spiritual maturity. And then the church goes out. It scatters to spread the love of Christ to the unbelievers. This was the Great Commission. This is what we were told to do. The church is not a place. It's not a building. It's not a location. as you've heard Andy preach, it's not a denomination. It's not your theology. It's not your belief system about how that building should run and how the people should behave and all of those things. We, the children, God's people, who belong to Jesus Christ, we are the church. And we need to act in such a way that he goes, that's my church. Aren't they awesome? Those are my people. That is my body. And my body isn't sick and broken and fighting against each other and talking bad about each other and neglecting each other. That's my church. That's my body. And he should be able to say that with such pride. But we got to get a right understanding about church. We have to understand what church really is in order for those things to happen. Church is the body of Christ. It is the hands of Christ. It is the feet of Christ. It is the heart of Christ. It is the mouth of Christ in the world. Let's represent him rightly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, I thank you that you gave me the opportunity so many years ago to become the body of Christ. Not to become a part of it. Sitting back watching it. Talking about it, micromanaging it. But Lord, you gave me the privilege and the humble mission to become a part, to become the body of Christ. And Lord, I don't take that lightly. And where I've failed you, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I ask you to help us every day to no longer neglect the church, think wrongly about the church, divide the church, criticize the church. Let us understand that as we speak and do to the church, so do we speak and do to you. And where we have failed, we ask for forgiveness. And let us rise up and be a glorious body for you. Here when we gather together, and every day out there, as we be the hands and feet in the body of Christ to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Instead of my house, we're going to start meeting at the vacuum store.
Oh, thank you.